This is Fatima E. Mendez for UN News. The International Day Against Nuclear Tests, marked annually on the 29th of August, draws attention to the plight of people impacted by the after effects of nuclear tests, to rally global support to end such tests. Against this backdrop, UN News Yelena Babnichnaya spoke to Ambassador Khairat Umarov, permanent representative of Kazakhstan to the UN, on the impact of over 450 nuclear tests conducted in his country, and Kazakhstan's efforts to work with the wider international community on enhancing public awareness and education about the effects of nuclear weapon test explosions. Mr. Umarov also spoke about the importance of multilateral instruments, such as the Comprehensive Nuclear Test Ban Treaty, or CTBT, and the Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons, or TPNW. He started off explaining the long-lasting and devastating environmental consequences of nuclear tests.
29th of August 1949, you know, the first nuclear test was conducted on the Simpalat test site. Of course, that was the time of Cold War, and there was a Hiroshima and Nagasaki bombings, which actually brought the arms race into being. What happened afterwards is that 456 nuclear tests were conducted on the territory of Kazakhstan. Nuclear weapons is not only destructive in itself, but it also has devastating effect, horrible effect on the people's lives. If we talk about figurative figures, you can imagine that the after effects of this nuclear tests in the air, on the ground and underground, it's like spraying 300 kilograms of weapon-grade plutonium on the territory of 18,000 square kilometers. It's a huge territory. If you just fly over it, it will take probably quite a time because it's a huge territory which is out of use today. And, you know, if you look at the timing for nuclear particles to be liquidated, it takes thousands of years. So we're talking about, you know, a huge devastation. Consequences of the nuclear tests, they are quite horrible as well. Back in the 90s, when I was myself a member of the first anti-nuclear grass movement in Kazakhstan, which started the work to close the nuclear testing site, we met with many, many survivors and victims of nuclear testing in the areas where the Semipalat nuclear test site is situated. And it was heartbreaking to hear the very terrible stories of young ladies who were afraid of giving birth to children because they were not sure that they will be, you know, healthy, that they will be having all the limbs in place. No, it's not only physical, but it's also a psychological problem for the population there. If we talk in general, of course, it's five times higher mortality rate among children in those areas. It's a lot of genetic diseases. It's a severe types of cancer. There are so many different things which are happening to people who were affected by nuclear testing. 1.5 million Kazakh people were affected by nuclear testing. Here, when we talk about the consequences, we talk about people. People's lives, and not only those who were there during the testing, but we're talking today about the third generation of people living at that area who are still suffering from the nuclear tests. 29th of August 1991, my president, Nursultan Nazarbayev, closed the nuclear testing site with his decree. From that time on, of course, Kazakhstan was having a very principled position against nuclear testing. But with the closing of the nuclear testing site, this story doesn't end. it has its own continuation because people are still there. They are still alive and they have their own children. And when anybody asks us about why you are so firm in this position against nuclear testing, we say, you know, we don't have any political gain from this. We are not gaining anything from this, but we would like to share our own experience with other people for this kind of mistakes never happen again. So 29th of August now is the International Day of Actions Against Nuclear Testing. We think that we need to remind people about the effects of nuclear testing. We should talk about it. We should speak to young population, especially those who have never thought or have never heard about it, for them to be aware of that. Because in today's conditions, we understand that the world is not becoming a safer place. We see that the situation is going back to the brink of a new arms race, nuclear arms race, which we don't want to see. You know, one of the survivors of the nuclear testing, actually I would say it's a victim of nuclear testing, Karibek Kuyukov. It's a relatively young man who was born to the parents who were affected by the nuclear testing. He was born without arms. And it doesn't stop him from becoming a painter. He paints, and his paintings is a very eloquent story against nuclear testing. We invited him to come here to New York on the 6th of September, when we will be having a high-level conference on International Day Against Nuclear Testing. He will be speaking, addressing the General Assembly here, and we want him to share his experiences. And I would like to invite everybody to be there to hear his own tragic history of being a victim of nuclear testing.
So two challenges now, I think, that we face. First, the entering into force of the Comprehensive Nuclear Test Ban Treaty. And also, you mentioned, you know, the complete elimination of nuclear weapons, which is a very ambitious goal of the UN as well. And we know that the General Assembly adopted the treaty on the prohibition on nuclear weapons, but none of the countries possessing nuclear weapons voted for it. So how realistic do you think that this will happen, both of these things that I mentioned?
You know, you're absolutely right. Comprehensive Test Ban Treaty is a treaty which is still to enter into the force. Actually, there are a few remaining countries which have not ratified it or joined it, which we would like, of course, to see them to join, because when we talk about nuclear tests, we have to understand that, you know, it's bad to people, as we said. It's bad to the health. It's bad to the environment. But it's also consuming a lot of resources to do that. The only reason for testing today is to really check the nuclear weapons, whether they are still agile, so to say. And the second reason is to modernize the nuclear weapons. Today's technologies allow you to do the same without even having nuclear tests. Second thing is we have today a global monitoring system, which does not allow any country to do anything without noticing it. I mean, with regards to nuclear testing. So we have today all the guarantees that none of the countries can do nuclear tests without being noticed in the international community. So there are safeguards, there are guarantees that no one can really do nuclear tests and go without punishment. But at the same time, we are a little bit hypocritical here. If we want to punish someone or to criticize someone, we need to have grounds for that. there is no any legal grounds for us to call any country to stop nuclear testing or do anything in this vein, because there is no any legal instrument for that. So comprehensive test ban treaty could be a treaty which can give us a legal ground to demand that the countries stop nuclear testing. I'm talking about North Korea, you know. Last year we saw a series of nuclear tests. So if we want to be effective in banning tests, then we have to really do something about it. And CDBT is one of the treaties which needs to be put into force. You know, we started this movement early enough. Kazakhstan, you know, at the time of its independence, resolutely, firmly stopped functioning of the Soviet, at that time, nuclear testing site, which was second largest in the world. And we get rid of nuclear weapons, which were the fourth largest arsenal in the world. Why? Because we understood that this is not the way for progress. We have to really work on a more positive agenda rather than just to keep up the nuclear weapons. It's a mistake when countries think that nuclear weapons, they can be a guarantee of their national security. They are not. And when you talk to politicians in any country which possess the nuclear weapons, it's interesting that all of them are saying that we're not going to use the nuclear weapons. We are for peace and security in the world. And they say, you know, but we need nuclear weapons to protect our own nation. But how you can protect it if another country can use the nuclear weapons against you? It will be a devastating effect for your country in the first place. So there is a double standards. Because if we are not going to use nuclear weapons, we don't need them. We don't need this temptation to use them if we get rid of them. I think it's very difficult to buy the argument that you need nuclear weapons to protect your security, national security. I think this is important to understand, and really what we are calling for, we're calling for political will of the leaders of those countries to really start working against modernizing nuclear weapons, just eliminating them. And, you know, it was quite recently, actually, during our presidency in the Security Council, when my president was speaking at the Security Council and talking about the issue of nuclear weapons. And he said, you know, it's a little bit hypocritical when P5 are calling on other countries not to have nuclear weapons and not to venture into that, at the same time modernizing and increasing their own nuclear weapons arsenal. He said the P5 should show the way for the other countries, start reducing the nuclear weapons, and then it would be a call which could be probably taken up by other countries. So we need to be honest and fair, sincere to ourselves in working on these issues. For us, nuclear weapons-free world is a foreign policy priority. So this is what we are aiming at. It's not a political game. It's something which we have experienced ourselves, and we don't want other countries to repeat it. So we would like the rest of the world to really see the merit of going this way. So CTBT, we hope, in the nearest future will come into force. We hope that during this International Day Against Nuclear Testing will be the day when we would say, okay, we don't have any more tests in the world. It's already in the past. We are working against nuclear weapons today, and you know there was a treaty against nuclear weapons which was signed quite recently. 120-plus countries which signed it, which adopted this treaty, and I think it's a very good message to the countries, those nuclear countries, that they didn't vote for it. But it's a great message to them, saying that the other countries in the world, they want this to happen. And today, the figures are good. It's just quite recently that it was voted for, and already we have 60 countries which signed. We have 14 countries which ratified. And countries are moving towards that end. And 50 is the kind of threshold for the treaty to come into force. So with this kind of tempo, I think we can really achieve that. But it's first legally binding document in the sphere of nuclear disarmament, which really allows us to work for the world free of nuclear weapons.